I have a lesson today, and it's entitled, Why We Never Give Up. I'm going to tell you what, when things like this go in a row, it knocks me down. It just knocks the blocks out from under me. But I have a God who can stand me up and who will stand me up. In 2 Corinthians 4, the text says here, Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we've renounced the secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the mind of believers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, Let the light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that all of this surpassing power is from God, not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I've spoken. Since we have this same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also raise us and present us with you to himself. All of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Now that's by the power of Jesus Christ, you understand? For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. God is filling us up with eternal things. Do you hear that? This is not small stuff. This is not a small thought. This is huge. If you're filled up with God and God's doing the filling, what's the chances of success? 100%. Maybe 1,000%. Now you think about that. God just got bigger. We know what Emmanuel really means. For God has been and is with us. That Christmas story is not about once a year. It's about every day. Have you ever considered that insight most often comes through trouble? Have you noticed that? When you get real insight, most of the time, it's because some trouble somewhere. You're struggling with something, and it just becomes. All of us struggle with the difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. You ever have a war in your head? God's here to help that. We really never know what you really truly believe till you hit a crisis. You can talk about it all day long. Boy, I tell you what, if I had this, I would do this, 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 this. We've done that for all our life. If I had this over here, I'd do this, 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 and this. And then when one flies right in your face, we don't know what to do with it. And God said, oh, but I do. That's why He throws those things on us. You never know what you truly believe till the crisis comes. So we don't lose heart. That's exactly what Paul said. Don't lose heart. He does it twice in 2 Corinthians 4. I understand it doing it one time. When he does it twice, what does that say to you? I really want you to get this. Here it is. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have a ministry, we do not lose heart. We don't lose heart. It's devastating what's going on in churches right now all over this country, especially in our expression of faith. It bothers me. It's the great cry of the covenant believer. We never give up. In the passage, Paul reveals the secret of the believer's endurance. Here's three reasons why we should never give up. Number one, and I want you to hear this and know it to be a fact, and for the older of us in here, we experience a lot of deficits. Number one, we experience life in the shadow of death. You get that? However alive you are, at some point, what's going to happen? You're going to die. Graveyard dead. Here it is again. 4:16, 2 Corinthians. Though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we being renewed day by day. All of the trouble, all the anxiety, all of that stuff, God says, I got this. I'll carry you through this. When Paul says that outwardly we're wasting away, every one of us in here, except the youngest young, understands that. That phrase is lost on young people. Because young people, I mean really young people, they think they're going to live forever. They think they can conquer the world. Yes or no? And that's wonderful. But there will come a day when it won't be so. When you were 18, graduating from high school, you feel that your whole life is stretched out before you. You get out of high school, you know, if you go to college or whatever, or if you don't. Once you get out of high school, it's like a milestone. And you get to go somewhere. You got to do something. You're going to be somebody else beside somebody's teacher's pet somewhere. And it's a wonderful thing to be full of energy when you're young. You might enjoy it now because pretty soon it's not going to be that way. I remember the days when I would be going up these steps, you know, just, I mean, like real fast. And now I have to watch the step and hope I don't fall off of it. I have a suspicion it's going to get worse. When Paul says we're all wasting away, do you know that the human body is programmed to die? Scientists use the term apoptosis to describe a programmed cell death. You have cells dying in you every day. In an average human adult, between 50 and 70 billion cells die each day. Now you think about that. You lost 50 billion cells yesterday, and you lose at least that many today. By this time next week, you'll have lost 350 billion cells programmed to cell death. That's why I'm tired. That's real stuff. When Paul says that death came to all men in Romans 5:12, that's not just true in the spiritual world. It's literally true in the physical realm. We're dying all the time. Little by little, our bodies are wearing out. I can't escape it. You can't escape it. The young folks hadn't got there yet, but their day's coming. It's happening to me. Newsprint gets smaller. That's why I use 15-point type when I write something. My body doesn't move like it did just 20 years ago. The young people seem to be getting a lot younger. Old people don't seem as old as they used to be. This is reality. This is biblical reality. We're dying on the outside. That is, in our fleshly bodies, but on the inside, in the realm of the Spirit, we're being renewed by God every single day. I serve a God that renews me every day. Will I die? Yes, sir. Will I die today? I might. Or it may be a while yet. But we are being renewed by God every single day, and these things happen all at the same time. You're dying and living at the same time. Oh, man, what a God. How can He figure all that out to work it all out like that? We're dying, but we're living. We're falling apart, but we're being renewed. We're heading toward death. We're on that path. But we're experiencing at the same time new life. That's why Paul isn't overly worried about whether or not his enemies try to kill him. He wasn't worried about that. Did you notice in all that stuff with Paul? If they do kill him, he wins. If they don't kill him, he still wins. You can't beat a deal like that. That's what you have. Strange as it may seem, Paul views his troubles as part of God's plan to renew him spiritually. Some days are dark. Some days are desperate. But here's what's always true. The sweetness of Jesus can be seen in His goodness to us, even in the middle of our trials. That's the God we have. That's my Jesus. From time to time, we encounter a brother or sister who's going through deep waters and has emerged even more beautiful from the struggle. But let me tell you this. I've seen this, and I know Anita has seen this a whole lot more. In those who are dying of cancer, you can see their faith actually grow as they're dying because their faith strengthens. You think that's true? That's the God we serve. Paul says this is God's plan for all of His children to have spiritual renewal. I can go to this book anywhere, any day, and preach out of these words or teach out of these words or study out of these words. And all of this stuff is thousands of years ago. but it still gives you life. That's amazing that something could do that. The second thing is we see the glory at the end of suffering. Here's the verse again. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that outweighs them all. Don't give up. Never give up. Believers in Christ can see what others do not see. We see beyond this life. What we have here is temporary. Do you know that in the resurrection, we'll talk about this more, you're going to be made new. And the good thing about this next time, this next shot we get, you don't ever die. You don't get sick. You don't have ingrown toenails. You don't have problems. You're living in God's embrace, in His domain. We understand that no matter what we endure now, there awaits an eternal glory. Don't go parsing it out and saying, where are you going? That's none of your business. Let me tell you about what you're going to do when you go to be with the Lord. You're going to go where He puts you, not where you want to go. So don't name places, because you don't know yet where He's going to put you. But you will be there. We see beyond life to come. On one hand, we're all fragile-looking travelers as we pass time on earth, and so many things can happen to us. You could have cancer. You could fall over with a heart attack. You know, what's coming? Who knows? Believers see something that others don't see. All of us have come to know and understand we're going to die. This is going to happen. You're going to die. Unless what? The Lord comes first. Even then, you will be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It tells us that a believer in Christ dies in the hands of a God who waits His glorious resurrection. The stars die at sunrise because the sun from the eastern horizon makes it die until tomorrow. God makes things the way He wants it done. In November 1941, C.S. Lewis preached a sermon on a passage called The Weight of Glory. Some think it's the best thing he ever wrote. At one point, he tried to imagine this eternal weight of glory that outweighs all the present trials. He put the matter away, and we're to shine as the sun, and we're going to be given the morning star. That's an awakening. I think I begin to see what he means here. In one way, of course, God's given us the morning star already, and we can go and enjoy the gift in many fine mornings if we get up early. What more, you may ask, do we want? I go out every night and look at the stars. I do. And when we had all those clouds, and they just messed up my world. Couldn't see nothing. We don't want it merely to see beauty, though God knows even that is bounty enough. We want something else which can hardly be put into words, to be united with the beauty we see, to pass into and receive it into ourselves and bathe in it and become part of it. Do you realize that when this life is over and God puts the kwachang to the whole thing, it's over here, but it's only just begun with us. I don't know how anybody could not embrace Jesus Christ when you got a deal like that. I have made deals all my life. It was my finest thing to trade or barter. I did skin a few people, and I apologize for it. But I didn't know better. At the time, I didn't know, because I was a good skimmer. But I've never skimmed you. I've always given you everything I could give you at that time. because I believe God called me to do that. We want something else which we can hardly be put into words. We want to be united with that beauty and to pass into it, not over it, but into it, and receive it into ourselves and then just daily bathe in it. That's what God wants us to do. The door of which we've been knocking all our lives is about to open. This is what Paul means, even if we admit that we don't really understand it. And how could we be standing as we are on this side of the door that leads to eternal glory? We're standing there now. We should be clear about a point here. We see things and know them not by sight, but by what? Faith. If God tells you there's a truth, can you trust it? That's what faith is. During the worst of trials, it'll not seem that there's any purpose at all at things. The dark moment of our life when we feel ourselves going under and see no ray of light, no hope at all, and hardly think of a reason to go on, this is the thought that we give from hope. God will provide for us. I am in His covenant, and I am among a group of people that's in His covenant. And that's what He does. Let me tell you this. Whatever's true is true. Yes or no? My trials, grievous as they may be sometimes, cannot abolish what is true about God and the universe. What's going on with me is not going to change the universe. Jesus is Lord, whether I believe it or not. He is Lord if I deny Him. He's still Lord. Truth does not depend upon my personal belief for its existence. Listen to me. 2 + 2 = 4. And it's true regardless of whether you think it is or not. That's what truth is. The same thing is true spiritually. I may be sinking down, 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 down. When I feel that all is lost, whatever was true is still true. No matter what's crashing on me. You take all the pain of this life, all the heartache, the rejection, the misunderstanding, all the evil we encounter, and all the hatred directed at us, all that trouble, all the sadness, all the tears, all the sleepless nights, all the fear, the doubt, the worry, the confusion, the perplexity, the sickness, the broken dreams, all of that's out there. That's in everybody's life. You add all that up and find your fantastic sum that it might be. Throw in a few funerals that cut your heart out. Put all of that over here on one ledger in your mind. Now place on the other side over here the promise of the Word of God. It never fails, right? Number 2, the promises of God. If God makes a promise, does He keep it? The love of God. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son to die. Is God on our side right there? The plan of God. The wisdom of God. That eye-opening experience that says all that. What about the kindness of God? God lavishes all of that on us. What about the sovereignty of God? Everything came to being because He said, come. He didn't have to draw plans. It just appeared. And then, what about the grace of God? Ah, that grace. I love that song, His Grace Reaches Me, because I need it to reach me often. Then you add to this, all this good stuff, the death of the Son of God with His infinite transforming power toward us who believe, and then add that to the resurrection of the Son of God who come forth from the grave by His own power, undefeated, alive from the dead, holding the keys of death and Hades in His hand, who is now declared King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Factor all of that in and add it to the indwelling Spirit, who is the down payment, who lives in you as a guarantee for salvation. Now you put that sum beside the other ledger, you do the figuring. Which one would you pick? I'm going to want to pick the one God would pick for me. We'll soon receive an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. King James Version here says, far more exceedingly. It's not just exceeding, it's far more exceeding. I have a God who's on my side. We fix our eyes on Jesus. Paul uses the word that means to gaze intently upon. And you know what? I'll tell you, we are in the best position we can ever be in our life. There is nobody and nothing that can take that from us. The only way it goes away from us is if we give up. I don't want to be a quitter. Anybody in here want to be a quitter? Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars and I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art.